stiff arm. Gore cuts it inside. Frank Gore is still going. Touchdown, San Francisco.
Two from the 40, couple of tight ends, receiver right and Adrian. Hand off Adrian. Scoots loose up the middle. Across the 30, to the 20, inside the 10. Touchdown!
First down and 10, Johnson. Gets a shoulder square. Watch out! He's got getting away from the top speed. Touchdown!
Welcome to Grinding the Edge, episode number 43 here on South Harmon. I'm your host, Koopa, and you can find me on X at Dynasty Koopa and anywhere else at Koopa Troopa 8. If you have not gone to the South Harmon website and checked out the Warp Tool, you need to do that. If you are getting ready to enter a startup, if you're looking to figure out, hey, how do I want to maneuver my team to start preparing for the upcoming season? The Warp Tool is going to help you out a ton with understanding your league and which players are the most valuable. So go to southharmonff.com and sign up for the Warp Tool. If you have any questions, reach out to me. I am the creator of the tool, and I can answer any question that you have about it. So once again, go to southharmonff.com and get the Warp Tool. This week, I'm covering using backup tight ends to fill a starting tight end position on your roster. I'm going to be looking at how many backup tight ends does it take in order to consistently get a top 12 tight end performance if you only use tight ends outside of the top 20. The reason I choose these guys is because the top 20 is about how many I see get drafted and be of some value in a normal league. When you compare to the top 40 running backs and the top 50 wide receivers and the top 32 quarterbacks, you end up coming in right at tight end 19 if you're comparing this on Keep Trade Cut. So the top 20 to me just makes sense. Being off by one but having a round number is, I think, the right decision to take for this. So looking at last season, of all the tight ends outside of the top 20, we got a total of 77 weeks where those tight ends finished off as one of the top 12 tight ends on the week. The number of tight ends that hit that number is 29 tight ends. So on average, a tight end that does hit that number gets 2.65 weeks. That number is pretty consistent compared to the other positions that I've been talking about, of positions where in the wide receivers, they hit about 2.5. Running backs hit around 2.5 as well. So 2.65 makes a lot of sense to me. Looking at those 29 tight ends, 9 tight ends were depth chart position 1, 14 were depth chart position 2, 4 were depth chart position 3, 1 was on the practice squad, and 1 was injured to start the season. When we compare this to the number of tight ends that were available that were in those depth chart positions, 40 tight ends were listed as tight end 1s. So if we remove those top 20, then we have 20 tight ends that were listed as tight end 1s who were part of our data set. And 9 of them had at least 1 week over the course of the season. So that means we have right around a 50% odds of getting at least 1 week out of any tight end if they are a tight end 1. If they are a tight end 2, there were 40 of those tight end 2s. And we had 14 of them hit. That gives us a percentage of 35% succeeding as tight end 2s. That is not anywhere near as drastic for tight end 1s versus tight end 2s compared to what we are looking at with other positions, where I was saying that you would want to only focus on wide receiver 1s or running back 2s. So already we're starting to see inklings of what is the long-term tight end problem. Tight ends score so little that they are so reliant on touchdowns in order to be a top 12 tight end on any given week that it is just hard to consistently get a top 12 performance out of a tight end. What is interesting is how many tight ends I need to have a top 12 performance across all 18 weeks. I would think that with these numbers, it would be a lot of tight ends. But it turns out it's only 5. Now, I looked at that number and said, hey, I need 5 tight ends, but 2 of them are Jonnu Smith and Zach Ertz. Each of those guys covered 8 weeks each, so I'm probably just heavily relying on those two. But when you remove those two from the data set, you can still cover all 18 weeks with only 5 tight ends. So when I was looking at that, I realized that the number of tight ends that you need, because of just how variable that they are, you can pretty easily fill in the total number that you need off of just about any number of tight ends. You need just 5 guys, but they can be anyone. They just need to be the ones that hit. So when I'm looking at how many I'm going to need in best ball, I can pretty reliably say that I only need 5 tight ends as my end goal if I chose perfectly. Another thing to note is how few tight ends had back-to-back weeks that had top 12 performances. So I mentioned earlier how there were a total of 29 tight ends who had at least 1 week. Only 8 tight ends had back-to-back weeks. And of those that had back-to-back weeks, every single one had 3 or more top 12 weeks, and 5 of them had 4 or more weeks. So knowing this, you can't rely on chasing the tight end's production. If you have a tight end who spikes 1 week, he's likely not going to the following week. So you need to make sure to not chase the tight end production. That's something that if you've paid enough attention in the fantasy space to the tight end position, you know that you should not be chasing production. The reason that a tight end spikes in 1 week does not mean that they're going to spike the next week. And so you need to go off of the peripherals of tight ends, off of what we expect for these guys, and that's how you get points out of the tight end position. Trying to rely on recognizing after the fact who the tight ends are that you want on your team, it's not going to work out well for you. You have to identify it beforehand and understand the profiles of the players that you want and be able to have those guys be filling in your tight end spots. Looking at it from more of a lineup perspective, as I've been doing with all these episodes, looking at how many projected weeks we have in the top 12. In 2024, there were 31 total weeks projected in the top 12 from 8 different tight ends. Those 8 tight ends were Tucker Kraft, Brenton Strange, TJ Hockenson, Jonnu Smith, Zach Ertz, Isaiah Likely, Mike Gesicki, and Will Disley. Those were the only ones who were projected for top 12 performances at any point in the season. We know that TJ Hockenson is one who was going to be there. He was just injured. So realistically, we're only looking at a list of 7 tight ends who actually came out of nowhere to be projected for top 12 weeks. In addition, I mentioned there were 31 total weeks with projected top 12 results. Only 14 of those weeks actually produced top 12 results. So not only do we only have 31 total weeks, which had a lot of holes in them in terms of actually having at least one tight end for every single week, but only half of them produced. Those 5 tight ends that produced a top 12 week were Tucker Kraft, Brenton Strange, TJ Hockenson, Jonnu Smith, and Zach Ertz. So 4 of those 5 were tight end ones on their team's depth chart, Brenton Strange being the only one who was not. So the problem is that for a lineup league, it makes it near impossible in order to have a consistent option any given week. If you're trying to literally just have one option for every single week, if you had every single tight end from 21 through eternity, to have one top 12 option consistently, you don't get that until week 8. In week 10, you finally have 2 options, and then in week 11, you have 3. The only 2 weeks you even have 4 options are weeks 12 and 16. and then you've missed weeks 4 and 7 that have no options for a top 12 tight end. And then even if you've been playing these tight ends, you have a less than 50% hit rate on playing those tight ends. You might as well just be flipping a coin with a tight end who has some amount of projection if you're trying to consistently have a top 12 performance every single week. If you were able to see the future and know that your top 12 tight end was going to produce, you end up missing a lot of weeks of the season. You don't have a top 12 tight end for weeks 1, 2, 4, 6, 7, and 9. And then the late season is carried heavily by Jonnu Smith. If you remove just Jonnu Smith, you're also going to miss weeks 11, 13, 14, and 16. So you need to get lucky that the tight end that you have is somebody who's going to produce at the end of the season. That you have identified the tight end who comes out of nowhere and produces at a top 12 clip. The only other guys that were there at the end of the season were TJ Hockenson and Zach Ertz. TJ Hockenson came back from his injury, and Zach Ertz was another one of those tight ends that grew over the course of the year. So if you're trying to build that tight end room in order to keep up with any sort of tight end premium, you cannot rely on these outside of the top 20 guys. You're just hoping that you have guessed the right one, unless you're basically owning all of them. Now, this kind of goes back to my tight ends don't matter show that I did all the way back in episode 2. And what I want to bring up here is talking about the idea of what are you missing out on by not having these top tight ends. The reason that it is important to have a top tight end when you have a tight end premium is because they score relatively equivalent to the other positions. When you have tight ends who the tight end 12 on that week is putting up 10, 11, 12 points because that's what matches the other wide receivers and running backs, you know that it's important to have a tight end who can fit in that slot. But if you are talking about a different type of league where the tight end premium does not exist, and the number 12 tight end is just putting up 7 or 8 points, that difference means a lot. And it means that outside of scoring a touchdown, the average tight end that gets 3 receptions for 35 yards, they're scoring 6.5 points. That's all you're missing out on. And if you have one of these other backup types and they just get you a 2 reception for 14-yard performance, you're only missing out on 3 points. But if we're looking at any kind of tight end premium, where, okay, I get 2 receptions for 14 yards, let's just pretend it's a 2-point tight end premium. You're getting 5.4 points. That more closer to average tight end is getting 9.5 points. Now all of a sudden, you're looking at a 4 or 5 point difference. When you're looking at the actual value of these top tier guys, that's where it makes a huge difference. And so you need to pay a lot more attention to your tight ends when you get to a higher tight end premium. We don't usually see huge scoring differences with running backs or wide receivers. Even with something as crazy as like a 0.25 points per carry, you're only going to see a boost of 5 points for the running backs, but it's going to be kind of flat. Any running back that is worth starting is probably going to get 10 carries, and so they're going to get 2.5 bonus points. And the running backs that do really well and get 20 to 25 carries are only going to have somewhere between 2.5 to 3.75 bonus points. Whereas when we're looking at a tight end premium, that can change drastically very quickly. If you end up having an additional 1 point tight end premium, then you're talking about giving an extra 5, 6, maybe 7 points to your tight ends that are at the high range. And the ones that are at the lower range, the ones who are only catching 0 to 2 passes per game, well, they're only getting 0 to 2 additional points. So you've created a gap of almost 5 points, which is much harder to overcome than, say, that 2.5 to 3.75 that I was talking about at the running back position. And then you so rarely see anything happen at the wide receivers that you don't really see this argument come up a bunch. You don't see a lot of leagues where the receivers are going to change from league to league in comparison to each other. So that's how this advice ends up changing depending on the tight end settings in your league. Because we play in leagues that have such a variety of tight ends, you need to understand that, hey, it's more important to have the higher value guys when you put in a tight end premium. But when you don't have a tight end premium and you're trying to play the backup tight end strategy, it still doesn't end up working out very well. All you're doing is essentially trying to play the tight ends don't matter strategy. That's, you get almost the same results coming out of it. But the tight ends don't matter strategy revolves around only using one roster spot for a tight end. You are not trying to roster as many tight ends as possible. Whereas this kind of strategy that we're talking about here, you are trying to roster as many tight ends as possible to create these top 12 tight ends. And if the results are basically the same, then there's not a point in doing that. So that's my advice for lineup leagues. For lineup leagues, you don't want to play the backup tight end strategy. Like, there just straight up isn't even a point where I'm going to say, oh, roster this many tight ends in order to try and play this strategy, because it's just realistically not likely to work. If you want to take some flyers on some of those guys who are outside of the top 20 who might have an opportunity, some of those guys that we could potentially have identified, Tucker Kraft. You could have identified Jonnu Smith, Zach Ertz. Find yourself some tight ends on good offenses who might be able to grow into a role that people were not expecting them to be able to have. And those are the kinds of shots to take. But in a lineup league with no tight end premium, there's just not a point in getting a bunch of these low value guys to try and fill in. Because realistically, just leave them on waivers and you'll be able to find somebody to fill in and get close enough to the right amount of points that you aren't hurting your team over the course of the season. And then if you do have big tight end premium, you can't afford to play this strategy because it's not predictable enough. You just need to get yourself tight ends who are in that top 12 range already, and those are the guys that you need to ride. For best ball, it's a little different. In best ball, I noticed that you only need to get 5 correct guys in order to cover a top 12 performance for almost every single week of the season. So with tight end ones, those who are first on their team on the depth chart, it's right around that 50% hit rate. So I want to double that number if every single one of them is a tight end one. So I'd need a minimum of 10 tight ends. But for tight end twos, that number was 14 out of 40, or 35%, which implies only needing 14 tight end twos. So I don't need that many more if I get all tight end twos. Keep in mind that we're just looking for getting touchdowns out of the tight ends. We are not trying to get huge performances where we need lots of catches like we would at the wide receiver position. We don't need a ton of yards. Touchdowns are so dominant when you don't have a large tight end premium that you can just rely on having a bunch of tight ends and hope one of them catches a ball for a touchdown that week. So if I only need 10 tight ends, if they're all tight end ones, and 14 for all tight end twos, that gives me a nice range depending on how many tight end ones versus tight end twos I have. So if I am half and half, I only need 12. So if I have 6 tight end ones, I just need 6 tight end twos. I could even go for 75% of them being ones. So if I have 7 or 8 number one tight ends, I only need three number two tight ends. And then I could go all the way on the flip side, where if I have 75% tight end twos, I only need 13 total tight ends. So if I can only get like three guys who are tight end ones on their team's roster, then I can just go out there and get 10 tight end twos. So I'm able to flex this strategy based on how the tight ends are distributed among my league mates. But overall, I don't need to actually spend that many more roster spots on it. So this makes it extremely predictable compared to a lot of the other strategies. 10 to 14, I feel, is pretty consistent. And it doesn't really matter that much how I shift around in it. If I find myself getting a lot more tight end ones, it doesn't actually change how many tight end twos I really want to have. Sure, if I get a tight end on my team who's a tight end one, I can drop a tight end two off my roster. But that tight end two that I've dropped off my roster, I'm not dropping off two tight end twos or three tight end twos or something like that. I'm not doing something like I would with the running backs, where I'm initially aiming for 11 running backs, but so many of them need to be in that 40 to 64 range that I know that I need to get a bunch of guys in order to fill that entire strategy. Same thing with the wide receivers, where I started with 10 number one wide receivers, and for every number one I did not have, I needed to replace with two number two wide receivers. That's not the case here at the tight end position. The maximum number that I need, as long as I'm just getting number two tight ends, is 14. There's a cap on it. And that cap is low enough that you can reliably, in a deep best ball league, just say, yeah, I'm going to do this. If you have a start 10 league, you have two for every single position except for this tight end position. That covers 18. And so then you just need to dedicate 14 spots to it. And if you're able to get a little bit more of tight end ones compared to tight end twos, you can knock that down to 12 easily. And a lot of best ball leagues will have 30-man rosters or deeper. And so you can easily fit this into a strategy and not have to hamper at any of the other positions. You're able to fit this in without having to really dive that hard at making sure that you get all these tight end ones, because these tight end ones are going to be available in your leagues. And so that's what makes best ball tight ends so powerful when you don't have a tight end premium. There's a reason that Mike has done this strategy for years in all of his best ball leagues, and there's a reason I've done the same. It's because the tight ends, when it comes down to it, are so variable that you just want a bunch of bodies to throw at the wall. And if you just have enough bodies, you're going to get a couple of them right every single week. And that's all you need. You just need one guy to be in your lineup that week, because you only have one spot to fill. So that's where the backup tight end strategy concludes. You only need 10 tight ends if they're all tight end ones, and 14 if they're all tight end twos in best ball, and I would not recommend performing the strategy at all in a lineup league. Just play the tight ends don't matter strategy and save yourself all the roster spots to try and play one of the other strategies if you can. Try to play the backup running back strategy or backup quarterback, or depending on your league, you could even try doing the backup wide receivers. Those are the kinds of things that you need to do in order to try and give yourself an edge. Tight ends is not the way to go. Having a ton of tight ends on your roster is also not going to work out for you. You should be that guy that only has a couple tight ends rostered maximum, no matter how good your tight ends are, if you don't have a tight end premium. All this gets thrown out the window if they're tight end premiums, by the way. Just because of that variance that I was talking about earlier, of how important it is to have the top guys, you want to have the guys that have the potential to be those top guys, because it's just that important. So that's everything that I have for you for this week. If you want to see whether tight ends do matter in your league or not, go check out the Warp Tool at southharmonff.com. If you see that orange line anywhere close to any of the other positions, that means tight ends probably do matter. But if it's really far away on its own, and especially if it's lower than that rookie line on the multi-year warp, you definitely know that tight ends do not matter in your league. So go check it out at southharmonff.com and sign up for that tool. That's everything that I have for you this week. I'll see you next week as we wrap up this series. As always, stay sharp and keep grinding that edge. I'll see you next week.